This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's move on now to the David story, the Celeste story, whatever you want to call it story. A teenage girl's dead in the front trunk of a Tesla, the frunk, and that vehicle registered to rising music star David. You see him listed as D4VD. No one reports her missing, though. The car sits in plain view for weeks, and when her body is finally discovered, there's silence. No public statement, no arrests, no answers as of right now. We're going to be joined again. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, to continue discussing this story. I know people are going, wait a second, she was reported missing, but let's go back to that for a second. She was a year earlier, and then she was back at home again. So it's appearing at this point in time that she came back. She was on her security camera at her family home. So somebody knew she was back. That just appears to be a factual piece of the story now at this point. There wasn't necessarily a second report of being missing. So I'm wondering, was she ever missing? And let's talk about that for a little bit. When someone goes missing, we have this every single day. Only certain ones seem to get the attention or qualify for the Amber Alert or qualify for whatever alert they're going to put out there. Let's talk about that in our system of what we have going on here of people when they go missing. And is it effective in any way, shape, or form for helping people be found when they are going missing, especially in a situation like this?
Missing. What's the other term for it? That you can claim someone's missing or they've been, there's two things. There's one that triggers an immediate response. The other actually has to take time.
There's different qualifiers in different places.
And so, just claiming someone's missing, it doesn't really trigger much at all, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, because again, you get these again, we just talked about confirmation biases. So the people in someone's life, including the person themselves, that if they're aspiring to do X, Y, and Z, they want to do these great things. So you're going to rationalize the behavior way that, hey, they're not really missing. They're just interacting with so-and-so. They're making, they're doing some networking over here. They're doing all these things. And so I think that muddles the entire reporting as well as just being surrounded by unhealthy people doing stupid things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, missing people never, ever gets the attention it needs, especially when young and teenage. This is how people get trafficked.
Yeah, or not white and blonde. That too. Don't seem to get the traction there either.
No, and people get trafficked into these systems because of this problem with reporting and being able to lock people onto them right away and try to mm-hmm. track them down. So,
and it's yeah, it's a weird thing that we don't seem to have a very, I don't know, when it happens, the passion isn't there. The passion's there once, like, they're dead or it gets like, oh, maybe this could be something really horrible. Why? It's a weird thing in society that we don't have the urgency to do it when we could actually make a difference and find the person alive versus when they're not. But again, society would need to know about the person being missing as well. And if the family is not paying enough attention to their own human being, it's hard for anyone to really know. If those red flags aren't being raised, and unfortunately, that's usually the starting point. The people who are supposed to care aren't caring.
And look at this confirmation bias too. So, if you know that your person that is missing has a relationship with a celebrity, pseudo celebrity, or something like that, what's our confirmation bias? Oh, they're just hanging out with them, and they're being well taken care of. And so, are they really missing? So, I think that whole, you know, attention aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And just think about that. I mean, do our thought experiment. So say we know our next door neighbor's daughter mm-hmm. happens to be friends with, we've heard rumor, not necessarily confirmed, but we heard rumor they're actually friends with some high, you know, say they're friends with Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they go missing or you haven't seen them around for a couple weeks, but you heard, well, they're friends with Taylor Swift. Oh, they're probably with Taylor Swift then. And, you know, she's so secretive. She doesn't really tell who her posse is at the time. So they're probably just – see how that rationalization goes?
Yeah.
As opposed to they're missing. We haven't seen them in 2 weeks. Holy F, we got to do something now.
True.
See how that kind of plays into who their associates are and who they aren't? It messes with you. Messes with law enforcement too, because then law enforcement will start rationalizing it away also.
Yeah. And when you have, and you do have a lot that, that do come back. And that's the other part of this is when do you know if it, what level of seriousness do you take it at? In some cases, there has been some scuttlebutt, because I like to use terms of different eras, over the weekend, about David and about him. As of right now, and I think this is important to state and contextually to state, not named as a murder suspect in Celeste Rivera's Hernandez case. Now, not named as a suspect, that doesn't really mean much. As of right now, there's a difference here. There's a big difference between being cleared and not being named as a suspect. Mm-hmm. No one has been cleared yet, and no one has been named a suspect. Obviously, there's got to be a suspect at some point in time, you would think. And, you know, people do get cleared at some point, but he's neither been cleared, he's not been named a suspect, but neither has anyone else. Let's talk about that a little bit and just the state as to where this is sitting as of this recording. No charges, no clearance, no nothing. The fact that he hasn't been cleared as of right now, but not named a suspect, doesn't mean anything now that we're however many weeks into this.
Maybe. Yeah. you know, you want to. So my mind immediately goes to, all right, so I always start with the baseline of everyone's doing the job the way they should be doing the job. And if they haven't been naming him yet, it's because they don't have either a need to name him yet, or they're probably trying to run down all the associates and all the other people that are probably possibly connected to him, the event and the things that have happened. And they don't want anyone to go silent, go dark, go missing as they're doing the investigation. Because as soon as you name one person, then everyone else might flee, everyone else might run, they might go dark, or so you don't know what the effect has. And so I'm going to assume that the glass is half full, and it's a very strategic move and a very purposeful move is why he hasn't been named yet, but definitely not written off. And the fact they haven't written anyone off says that they got a lot of data coming in. How could you not? She was in his car, and remember, I'm always looking at the age of people. First of all, we have never covered anyone who's smart, and I don't care how many people, and I know we get dinged on this sometimes too, because people will keep referring to someone's degrees. They'll talk about their IQs, but I don't give a rat's ass about any of that, because all these people lack complete emotional intelligence, zero on the emotional intelligence side, which is the true measure of a human being and how we interact with society around us. You cascade low EQ emotional intelligence with the fact that you're 20 years old and younger, it says you're a complete moron when doing stupid things. And so putting those two things together, there's going to be a lot of leakage. I think there's a lot of data coming in and leads coming in from the surrounding posse of this individual that they're trying to run down. And they might just have limited bandwidth of the number of people that can do that. We know that they're conducting searches. There's no doubt that they're conducting searches. They're doing a lot of analysis of that. That might be another thing that might be waiting on too, DNA. You know, if you don't have, Kash Patel flying across the country to run your DNA for you, back in the FBI jet, it might take a bit of time.
True. But he's got to get his boots on and everything too.
Just looking at the reality and logistics of the notoriety of a case, these poor guys, are doing the best they can. Kash Patel goes across country, Bongino, to get the assassin of Charlie Kirk's DNA, personalized back to the FBI lab. These guys might be waiting in the queue for another 3 months.
Isn't it great that they're personally doing it, though? Doesn't it make you feel much more safe?
I feel
and
very
effective
secure.
And,
yep.
Yes. It's literally, you, as I say, you just sit back and watch a show, man.
Let them.
There's not enough popcorn, honey.
Let them. Because I always have such a pragmatic view of having been in executive management of the FBI as well as a street agent for so long, I really know how these organizations work for the good sometimes and for the not so good and slow sometimes. And so a very pragmatic Robin says the slowness of this could literally be they have DNA. They're waiting for a DNA positive hit, linking people together. They're doing the same thing. Cell phone data analysis also takes roughly around the same amount of time. And so if you don't have, you know, the head of an organization running across country for you, getting the necessary things, or your queue's so backed up because the Cash Patel's dropped in everyone else's cases in front of you, it could back you up. I literally have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the reality of the amount of time it takes for these super investigative things that we're used to seeing on Criminal Minds happen like this. We have the capabilities to do the investigations, but the time lapse between getting it, analyzing it, and coming to conclusions can be decades apart sometimes, unfortunately. So that might be playing into here.
It's just like you look at this case and you go, come on, I mean, couldn't we have something by now? But so I know we're saying not smart human beings, but if these people manage to evade being caught on camera and nobody's arrested yet, I mean, I guess it's got to do, unless it's just pure dumb luck, or they're waiting and they got their eyes on them going, well, they're not going anywhere. Like, yeah, we know where they're at and they're waiting. You know, if they were to flee, they're ready to, you know, to stop them.
Let's look at this. You know, you say dumb luck. Yeah. When was the last time we've covered any single case and we said, oh, they were really smart?
No.
I don't think we've ever done that.
No. And that's the thing where I'm like, it's been this long. You got the most advanced vehicle in the world that has the body in it. You're in a very populated area. There's cameras everywhere. We're how many weeks in? How the hell do we not have the person arrested who was driving the car and parked it there?
So now we could actually have the case of, these people are stupid, the criminals and the murderers. At the same time, though, you know, you don't know what you're dealing with on the law enforcement side. We've seen it all over the spectrum. We got guys that can catch people in 37 hours, and we got people that are going to take 37 years. I mean,
I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Like, why? What, I mean, and there might be a good reason for it. At the very beginning of the Koberger investigation, too, we were very critical about it. Yep. And rightfully so in some ways. I think the PR management wasn't the wisest for that community in crisis at that moment in time.
But look at Gilgo, too. Yeah. I mean, why?
Well, that's a whole other different level of corruption over there. Correct. That's like a different animal. It's like a different zoo. It's not even the same remote thing. But this is something where maybe there is a reason. Maybe there is, they really want to make sure they have the case as solid as they can before they go in and make some sort of arrest.
Also, you know, we don't know the reps they have, you know, local law enforcement, because that comes into it too. We saw it in the Koberger case. You know, if you have a smaller police department, that the last murder they did before Koberger, I think it was 14 years before that murder, that homicide, mm-hmm. and they had a quadruple and they'd only done a single.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know the resources of this Department of Investigation.
We're talking about, you know, this is Beverly. I don't know. The house was what, in Beverly Hill? I don't know what it's LAPD that's on it. So it's LAPD. They got some reps. Yeah. Here, you know, they have resources that are beyond, you know,
LAPD
reproach of most departments. So that's, again, I don't know.
So LAPD's got, I know a few people that the top psychiatrist, mm-hmm. Psychologist. I mean, the criminal psychologist in there know him. He's a really good guy. So
yeah,
LAPD. So now again, I'm sorry that my brain was fogging on who was actually doing it. So now that you weigh that data point in there, I'm thinking it's, now granted, I'm still going to go on the time to get these returns on all the investigative stuff because of not having people flying across country for you.
Yeah.
But that being said, that they do have their own crime lab, they do have their own resources. I mean, LAPD is like NYPD. They got a lot of resources. So silent to this point, I think it's calculated.
Yeah. People I think are chomping at the bit because everybody likes to bring up people and then tear them down. And I think there's a lot that people are, for whatever reason, you know, they're going, well, it must be David. I don't know about that. I really have serious reservations thinking that this guy killed this person. I have serious reservations about a lot of the accusations that are flying around online too, about the relationship there. I don't know that it was a romantic relationship. I'd love to see some actual evidence that shows that it was. I don't think we've seen it. We've seen what to me looks like a male friend with a female friend. One is certainly younger, but if there is nothing sexual going on there, 15 and 20 is not that huge of a difference. You can be friends. You don't,
Tony,
you
know,
yeah.
That is so perfect. I mean, you are saying everything exactly right. Let's go where the evidence brings us. Right now, we don't have data that supports one thing or the other. And as dumb as we say the people are, it would be super dumb to dump a body in the trunk of your own car and abandon it. I mean, just, but again, dumb things happen. But
dumb things happen.
That's what you do. I mean, really good job. Hey, here's what we
He was on tour, though, too. So, I mean, like, physically, he couldn't have even really done it from, you know, but it's not to say he couldn't have a hand in it. I don't know, but that's what we don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But hey, so now we can do our little thought experiment here too. No. So since we don't have data that supports that, it seems just to make sense it would. And it's LAPD handling it, and they got a lot of reps in doing this. Granted, they don't have the analysis back necessarily yet of doing the DNA tests and doing cell phone triangulation, especially in Beverly Hills when you got a lot of cell phones all over the place and potentially a lot of DNA, especially if this is a social guy. There's going to be a lot of DNA in that car to analyze possibly. And so putting all those things together and a lack of data, there just might not be charges coming because nothing supports it yet. And then maybe there's no charges against David yet because they're trying to figure out who that DNA does tie to, because maybe it doesn't tie to him.
Yeah. Who has access? I mean, if he's cooperating with police, and we have no reason to believe that he's not as of right now, from what we've understood, he is, who has access to your car?
100%.
Right.
And I think that's going to give you a lot of answers right there. And I'm guessing they're trying to go down those roads. I mean, and could it, again, we're just kind of in speculation land here too. Could it be that maybe somebody who had access to his car is not exactly findable at this moment in time and nobody knows where that person is. And that's why they're not really going, full throttle here saying, here's who we're going after to further prevent them from going deeper into wherever they're at. If they're already not in the unknown.
Yeah. And so, especially with no charges coming against David yet, the probability of, again, they haven't written him off yet, but the probability that they're running everything down is really, really high. And especially if you're dealing with a couple of individuals that have a very big social networking footprint, there's a lot of people to run down. There's a lot of leads to run down. In other words, there's a lot of people, because the first thing you're doing when you're investigating a homicide is who's connected to the individual. Because 95% of the people that are murdered, there's some sort of connection between the murderer and the victim. And so if you have, the victim, the girl who's got so many of these social media connections, you're going to have to run them all down. And especially if you can't link it solidly to one individual yet, you got to run all those down. And even if you can, so think about this, even if you can link it to a certain degree with one individual, when it goes to court, you have to be able to say how you outruled everyone else. So it's a lot.
It is a lot. When you're trying to figure out who all this is. I mean, the fact that these people are so, David has said, like his world, his people, I believe is the way that he phrased it, are online. He's of the online world. He was a gamer. He was a this, he was a that. And that's the ecosystem to which he operates and lives. That would tell me if there is anything, if he has anything to do with her disappearance or her murder or death or act, whatever the hell it was, we don't even know if it was technically a homicide yet. I would imagine that it'd be very hard. Would you be surprised if there's not anything in the digital sphere of a footprint on this guy if he has anything to do with it?
Nothing surprises me anymore. I think the thing that's really, thank God that the only thing we have is the vehicle, because I mean, think about this: if she had been found by a tree in the woods, or even by on a street corner in a neighborhood, that'd be much harder. Because now at least we can rule it into someone had to have access to that vehicle. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, the volume of people and connections that they're running down at this point, even if you can, as I was just thinking, as you were speaking, I was even thinking about this, you know, I'm on Discord for the couple of the mm-hmm. online gaming things I do in the VR world. I play this stupid VR game with mm-hmm. with people all over, and no one has any idea who anyone is. Yet I have very close relationships, you know, with people online where you can have great conversations with people. And as I was just thinking about this in this context
yeah.
of, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to have close relationships that cops are trying to run down. Who is this?
Yeah.
All they got is an anonymous name through some Meta account, and they're trying to figure out who the hell that is because there's a close relationship here, and they don't know who it is. Is it this person, this person? So it's a world of challenges. There is no doubt.
Robin, and do people know who you are in these chats? Do they know? No. I mean, so no, I'm no. assuming you're just like some player in there.
Yep. They have no clue. I'm they listen to my voice and they have no idea I'm 57 years old.
I don't want to add. I was going to say we should do a game. Let's guess Robin's username. No, no. Come up with some very very creative ideas on what that could be.
I've given hints a few times, but no one's ever guessed what I do.
Let's give us some insight though into that world, into that community, because we've obviously seen, you know, he's very much into this world that David is. We've of course the Charlie Kirk shooter. We've seen there's another case I'm beginning to follow here of the teenager that ran over the two girls over the last week that he was stalking online, and he didn't like them because they were saying negative things about Charlie Kirk. So he thought, well, let's go run them over, which he did. But again, then bragged about it on an online forum of some sort for a video game he's playing.
Yeah.
Give us some insight for those of us who are not in that world as to what that world is like. Are these extreme outliers when you have people like that that are doing things like that? Or is there just like questionable shit everywhere and you just don't know who's being serious or not?
I can only give my optic.
Yeah. Give me your. Yeah. Yeah.
And my son's on them all the time too. I have two adult kids in that age group. You know, they're in their late 20s. I don't see anything toxic in the stuff I do. I mean, you hear toxic kids saying toxic things from time, but never violent things. They'll just say inappropriate things is a better way to put it. And then, and to the credit towards the companies that the games that I play, they get voice banned. They'll be like, as I logged on last night, and there's this guy I play this one game with. He's actually he's in his 30s. He's a roofer in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I have no idea who he is. I know that much about him because that's much he shared. Yeah. And he came on last night, and he's already voice banned because he says this one thing online. It's not even a bad word or anything, but the algorithm thinks that he's saying something else, and they voice ban him for like 30 minutes. And it's hilarious. He's doing these hand signals in the game trying to articulate.
Yeah.
But no, and my son was telling me this because we talked about this a lot after the Charlie Kirk shooting and, you know, this online culture that they have. You can find toxicity anywhere you look for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But by and large, you know, a lot of these companies are, I'll give the glass half full. A lot of these companies and gaming companies are doing a very good job of creating these filters and algorithms to keep that toxicity out because they don't want to have their company go out of business. You know, they make money by selling things that are positive, that parents will allow their kids to buy, mm-hmm. that the government's not going to shut down or ban. And so by and large, they do a good job. But what happens is you have the gaming world and then you have the communication world that goes around the gaming world. And so I play both my computer game, my Xbox downstairs, S. Mm-hmm. And I also play on my VR headset. You know, I got an Oculus.
Yeah.
You know, and then with all those games, you have a Discord channel that will go along with that game. And so it's not the gaming systems themselves that are necessarily the ones that are bad. It's the chat world that'll go around that'll start surrounding. So you'll have a group of people that can be completely anonymous that decide in the game, hey, here's an invite to my Discord channel. And so they give an invite to the person online, and then they go to that little cult of people. Mm-hmm. And I'll say a cult just as a collective, not as a bad thing, just a cult of people, completely anonymous, that starts out talking about this game. Now, if you have one individual or a couple individuals in there that start spreading some toxicity about other things going on in society or anything else, well, then that can start festering. And that's where that starts. So it can start here, it can start there, and that's why it's so hard to track. And all of it completely anonymous unless you decide to disclose who you are.
Is this stuff like kind of coming off of the dark web now and getting into more mainstream platforms like Discord, like Reddits and things of that nature, where it used to be you had to dig a little bit deeper to find a community where it gets pretty dark? You'd have other, you know, is it being harbored out in shallower waters than it used to be, and people are getting access to it in ways that and falling into these, especially young men, being able to find and fall into these things in a much easier way than they would have in the past, where in the past you would have had to been kind of like in a hackerish community or really know what the hell you were doing to go that deep on the web. Now, you know, you're on a Discord from a game you were playing, and things can get pretty dark. Is it getting the shallow getting too close to home, and do these companies like Discord and such that provide the platforms, do they need to be more responsible with what they're allowing to have conversation of on their platforms?
Well, the language you used there was really good and accurate. Shallower waters, I think, is a very accurate way to put it. I haven't heard anyone, or because I used to work, I used to be a board member on a group called Innocent Lies Foundation, which we tracked and identified online predators and handed it over to law enforcement for investigation. And that took a lot of dark web work. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to traffic in horrendous things that are mm-hmm. already, you know, like Stephen Stearns and the Matty Soto case, sure. that is dark web kind of stuff when you're mm-hmm. dealing yeah. with that. But when you're talking about just dialogue,
ideology doesn't have to be
that. No, it gets very shallow. And the challenge with it, it's not even just a challenge of the companies and tracking it, because the three of us and four, you know, with Todd, the way we communicate as a generation is very, it's much more transparent. But what happens is that these people will start talking in code. The code becomes jargon and lingo that an algorithm's not going to pick up on until it picks up on, then they already moved on from it. Mm-hmm. And so, boy, it's a challenge. And so this kind of goes back to some of the things we were talking about because of the Charlie Kirk assassination was, I don't think you're going to be able to keep chasing people around social networking sites and find the bad actors. I'm not saying you're not going to. You'll be able to identify some that way, but you're in chasing mode. You'll never catch up to sprinters if you're in chasing mode. Mm-hmm. The way to do it is really start looking earlier than that at the behaviors outside this world, because if they're doing it inside the virtual world, there's tons of leakage on the outside. It's a self-isolation. It's the dark thoughts. It's the vernacular they start using. So I constantly encourage parents to do this all the time. Keep a journal, keep a log, and date it. So when you make observations, you know, just journaling about what you, your family, and your kids are doing on a daily basis, or even just make a weekly basis, just make notes on what, you know, I've got a couple of more fun names, but what your kids, you know, Jane and Bob are doing on a weekly basis. And when you start tracking that over time, then you'll start seeing a pattern. Is the pattern staying healthy and normal, or we start going down into self-isolation? Because if we start seeing a fall off, it's like, here's an easy thing to do. Name your kids' friends. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the ability to name who your kids' friends are, these are conversations to have. And then as you just do a weekly check-in with your kids, like my kids and I, our family does this, we do a weekly FaceTime call, all four of us. My mm-hmm. kids are grown. We're just checking in. Here's what's going on. Here's what's going on in each other's lives. We talk about people in people's lives. Now we have a baseline. And so if we baseline what our kids and our interactions are going and the socializing they're doing, if we start seeing deviations because we're taking note of it, that's the change.
Yeah.
And you don't have to start chasing it down online because you're never going to catch them.
Well, and think about how isolated we are now. I'll hold up my phone here. There are people in my phone that other people don't know about mm-hmm. because they don't see them in real life. This is how we communicate. They're in other states. So the people who are in my actual real world don't know that these other people exist. My phone is locked. People don't have access to it. So there is this entire web that if those people are toxic, the people in my real life have no idea that they exist.
But we're going to know from your behavior.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, and so when I start seeing a change in Stacey, I'm going to say, Stacey, I mean, this is what I say to myself, you know, I said, what's going on? What great challenge are you facing this week? You know, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. And if we don't have that check-in with people like what you do with your family, we are absolutely lost in this world. So we've really stopped that communication with people around us. We don't do those check-ins. Yeah. And what you just shared is so valuable
and
to everybody.
Curiosity, you know, I know everyone's probably laughing that Robin does these gaming things. You know why I do gaming? Well, you know why? My kids do. And in order for me to, and we talk about it on the, anything that I face as a behavior guy in the real world when we do these shows, I dive in. Mm-hmm. Just so I can understand that world a bit better. So I have that, like we're talking about Brian Enton. He goes on scene. Well, if we're going to talk about the virtual world and gaming and Discord and everything, I have an account. I do these things.
Yeah.
If I could get at least a bit of a taste and a flavor. I ask my kids about it because they're the source material for me about, hey, you're doing this every day. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What's the reality from what we're seeing being propagated on the news cycles that are selling ad space compared to reality of just, what is really going on?
Well, it's so curiosity.
It is just deep act of curiosity. And then, I've actually enjoyed these games. It gets really annoying, though. These kids get really good at these games. And really my favorite line ever that I use when I get angry, and I don't get angry because I say, let them, is... Would you go out and smell some grass?
What kind of grass are we talking about here?
Dad just installed AstroTurf in the front yard.
Yeah, green grass, man. Yeah. And the other thing I'll do with some kids is take a breath because some of these kids just will not shut up.
Sure. Yeah,
It's good. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm digressing.
No.
Our chat section here on YouTube, they freaking love you, Robin. So stop apologizing for going off because everybody here just loves your commentary. So please don't ever apologize.
It's refreshing. I'm just a real guy, man, doing real things.
Exactly. And they love it.
And you can get his book right now, Unbreakable Alliances. It's his latest, wherever books are sold. So there you go. Yes. And audiobook, wherever. So if you want to go get more Robin after the show, you can go get, and there's other books too. I do highly recommend all of them.
Yeah, me too.
Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. As always, thank you for coming on and giving us your insight into the lovely world that we
into
currently
everything. You'll never know where it goes. Thanks, guys.
We love that.
And let us know your thoughts in the comments section as well.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.